Right. Hopefully you got your blood flowing now a little bit. And we will begin here. Okay. Is anybody here like rabbit? Have you ever had rabbit? All right. Some people have. All right. Well, good. Because today we're going to be on a rabbit trail. All right. And this is a little bit of a offshoot here. But to begin with here, we'll have our prayer time here in a moment. But I want to take a rabbit trail. And I'm going to blame Mr. Miller for this because he brought up this last week. And so I'm just going to follow this a little bit. But as you know, this past Monday or Tuesday, there were some peace accords that were signed between some of the Arab nations and Israel. And of course, our president was heavily involved in that. And so I want to tell you about that a little bit, and then want to kind of dip into a little bit of eschatology. And the way that I'm going to do this is kind of like when you go swimming and you're not quite sure how the water temperature is going to be. And so you just kind of, you know, you dip your toe in and just kind of feel it a little bit. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning with this, and I'll go from there. So anyway, I'll just start with an article that describes some of the accords. This is from Fox News. It says, President Trump on Tuesday declared the dawn of a new Middle East as he presided over the signing of two historic Middle East diplomatic deals between Israel and two Gulf nations. Quote, we're here this afternoon to change the course of history. After decades of division and conflict, we mark the dawn of a new Middle East, he said at the ceremony in the South Lawn of the White House. Thanks to the great courage of the leaders of these three countries, we take a major stride toward a future in which people of all faiths and backgrounds live together in peace and prosperity, he said. The deals between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Israel and Bahrain involve the exchanging of ambassadors, establishment of embassies, and cooperation on a range of fronts, including trade, security, and tourism. The agreements, known as the Abraham Accords, also allow Muslims to visit Islamic holy sites in Israel. Trump said the deals would form the foundation for a comprehensive peace across the entire region. Earlier in the Oval Office, Trump said, we're very far down the road with about five additional countries. He declined to name the countries as he is speaking with, and later said it could be five or six other countries. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the foreign ministers of both the UAE and Bahrain were present to sign the deals at the ceremony. Trump signed onto each one as a witness. The leaders also signed a separate trilateral declaration of peace. The UAE deal was announced last month, with the Bahrain deal announced on Friday. This day is a pivot of history. It heralds a new dawn of peace, Netanyahu said. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have prayed for peace. For decades, the Jewish state has prayed for peace. And this is why today we are filled with such profound gratitude. The UAE foreign minister, and his name is Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan. He said, we are already witnessing a change in the heart of the Middle East, a change that will send hope around the world. Meanwhile, Bahrain's foreign minister praised Trump's role in the securing of the deal. Mr. President, your statesmanship and tireless efforts have brought us here today and made peace a reality, Dr. Abdul Latif bin Rashid Al Zanyani said. While critics have noted that such deals ignore Palestinians and the Israel-Palestinian conflict, it is hoped that the deals would be the start of a warmer Arab-Israeli relations. Trump told Fox and Friends on Tuesday morning that other countries, quote, want to come in, and that he believes the Palestinians will eventually come in too. Quote, you're going to have peace in the Middle East, Trump said, adding that countries including Iran were, quote, actually getting to a point where they're going to want to make a deal. They won't say that outwardly. They want to make a deal. And then Democrats, they give what they say about it, which is questioning it. But anyway, that gives you an idea what's going on. So how do we process this? There's a lot of things that we could say, but I would like you to turn to Ephesians to start off with. I'm going to have you turn to maybe two passages here. But Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, we'll look at that. We've been in here. We've discussed here the nature of the church in Ephesians, and this discussion really is one of the most foundational issues when it comes to eschatology. That's the study of last things. And I think we have to recognize this point that we're going to see here before we can really understand where things are and where things are going. And that is, we need to notice the character of this present age that we're in right now. We could call it the church age. What is the character of that? And in Ephesians 2, we saw that described a little bit, where Christ has made one new man, Ephesians 2, and verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We saw how God is bringing together both Jews and Gentiles into that new entity, the church. And then jump ahead to chapter 3. And we'll read beginning in verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to see the character of this present age. And in this passage and others, there's others we could go to, we find that it is described with the word mystery. That word mystery applies to this present age, the church age. Paul says in this passage, other passages, Colossians chapter 1 says the same thing about the church, that it's a mystery. And you remember that a mystery in the Bible is something that was not formally revealed, and it was, because of that, unknown in previous times, but now is made known. All right? So that is the character of this time, of the church. It was something that was a mystery. In the Old Testament times, not revealed. Now, it's made known. And hopefully we'll understand why that's important here, but there's a distinction. I think one of the most important foundations of eschatology, study of the last things, is recognizing the nature of this present age and the distinction between Israel and the church. That's one of the most foundational, important things that you have to recognize before we can really you know, jump into that swimming pool of eschatology, you got to stop and recognize there's this distinction, okay? The church is a mystery, something that was not previously revealed. Now, what that means is that when we go to the Old Testament, where is the church going to be? Well, when we look at the Old Testament, really, it's not there. We don't see it. Those Old Testament prophecies that are given, which we're going to look at in a moment, those are talking about things from the perspective of Israel and its future. And the church, okay, maybe it is there in the mind of God, of course, but in the Old Testament, it's only in the white spaces between the words and the verses. And I'm going to show you that in a moment here. So we need to start by noticing the character of this present age. It's a mystery, something that was not previously revealed. Now it's been made known by God through the apostles, through the Apostle Paul mainly. Okay, now I want you to turn to the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 9. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. This is one of the prophecies that deals with the future things, eschatology, and even more than that, really. And I'm sure that you've gone through this. We've been through this. I preached through Daniel and Revelation several years ago on Sunday nights. So I'm sure you are all, you know, familiar with this. But in Daniel 9, we have the famous prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. And verse 24, it says, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So, 70 weeks. Now, the thing that gets confusing about this is that the word weeks doesn't actually mean weeks, like we think of it. And it would have been nice if they would have chosen a different word to translate that other than the word weeks, because it's not a seven-day week. And if you try to interpret it as a week of 7 days, it doesn't work. That word, it just means a unit of seven. And when we study that passage, we find out that that week is actually not a week of days, it's a week of years. And we have this 70 weeks or 70 periods of 7 years have been determined for all these things. And you notice that the specific reference for those 70 weeks is upon thy people, upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, and so on and so forth. But the specific reference of that prophecy is Israel. God is speaking to Daniel, speaking to a Jew. He's talking about Daniel's people, Israel. And so the reference there is Israel. And then he explains what's going to happen in those 70 periods of seven in verses 25 and 26. And then you come to the end of verse 26 and the beginning of verse 27. And that is where you have a gap, that period after the word determined. There's a gap there. Now, as I mentioned, the nature of this present age is a mystery. It was not revealed to Daniel. We know from the New Testament that the church has been revealed now, but there are places in the Old Testament where we see, okay, there it is. It wasn't specifically addressed, but it's there. It's in that white space right after that period. That's where the church is, okay? Now, we come to that final week. There's a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. It's the church age. Okay. Now you come to the last week, the last period of 7 years, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, so that's a period of seven. Okay, that's 7 years. That's a tribulation. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And, you know, again, we could spend a lot more time on this, but I'll just ask you to, you know, accept certain things here. But that last verse is talking about the seven-year tribulation. That's how we know it's 7 years. It's defined as the 70th week. And we notice here that this is how it begins. It begins with somebody confirming a covenant with many for 1 week. And then in the middle of that week, we're told that there's something that happens. There's a violation of that, an interruption of that. And the sacrifice and the oblation cease. And evidently, that refers to the sacrifices of the temple that, it seems, will be going on in the future tribulation time period. So we see here from that passage that that 70th week, it begins with some kind of peace agreement with Israel, I believe. This whole prophecy is dealing with Israel. That's how it begins. And so we look at what's happening today, and, you know, we think of this. And you see here, you know, I don't know what's going to, you know, if I don't, I'm not saying that that's what it is. But anyway, the signing of peace agreements in the Middle East will be an important part of Daniel's 70th week. Okay, that's what I want to point out here. So it's interesting to see more of that taking place. However, I would say it does not seem to be what Daniel 9 is specifically talking about. Could it be building up to that? Maybe. It seems that we'll start out with a wonderful proclamation of peace for Israel in that region and the things that they will now be allowed to do and be assured of. There will be somebody, the Antichrist, who is responsible for making that, confirming that covenant with Israel. And but I would say it's you know, it's not quite what Daniel 9 is talking about. Now, another thing I'll say, and then I need to stop here, but peace is always a blessing, and we should pray for it and for those in authority. You know, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 tells us to pray for peace, basically. Pray for our authorities. And, you know, for any country, it's a blessing to have peace. You know, there are Christians in Israel, there are Christians in those Arab nations that are involved in those peace deals, the churches there. And it would be a real blessing for them to have that kind of peace that's being talked about right now. And, you know, it would help the cause of the gospel, people being able to visit countries and being able to go between borders, and that's what's it seems being talked about here, and so I would say that as well about this. And next time, you know, the Bible does talk about some of the conditions of this present age. You know, when we talk about the church age, it's something that's revealed right now. You don't see it in the Old Testament. The Old Testament does talk about the last days, and you know, typically that's the last days in reference to Israel. Now, the New Testament does talk about the last days in reference to the church age, and that is something we should pay attention to, and I might continue this rabbit trail next week. But there are some of those conditions that we ought to pay attention to, even right now. Notice, okay, this is happening, this is increasing right now. So I'll stop there. But anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Yeah, I appreciate you asking it, and I don't know, it could, I mean, it's definitely seems to be something that's going to happen, you know, at the beginning. There's going to be great proclamations of peace for Israel, and somebody especially being responsible for that, and granting that, confirming that with Israel, so it's interesting. Anybody else? Yes.
I heard he's Jewish, right heart, hence he's the CEO. He says what people don't understand is, I'm assuming he's talking about the joy that's going to come. And he made a statement that the flight
Yeah, so it's interesting.
And, you
know, can't say for sure, you know, what's happening right now, but you look ahead to that last unit of seven, and it does begin with that, in Daniel 9. So. All right. Okay, I'm going to stop and go to our prayer request time here. And so we can keep that in our prayers, pray for peace for our country too. So hopefully you have a prayer sheet, have one, should say September the 14th on it. That was the most recent one here. And so let's take a look at that. Mr. Reynard let me know before the service here that Jim Coyer passed away this week. He was one that we were praying for. And so pray for his family as they go through that situation there. And then I'll pray for our country. As I'm sure you're aware that one of the justices passed away, Supreme Court justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So that opens up another issue in this present election season. So pray for that seat to be filled with the right person. So, all right, any other prayer requests or praises? Yes. Okay, Mrs. Lewis made it home safely from Florida. All right, anybody else? Other praises or prayer requests this morning? Yes, Heather?
I talked to our friend in Oregon on Wednesday, and she said that their wildfire was only about 15% contained, but their evacuation orders had been removed. She had power back on, and they had taken all the valuables out of the truck and moved them back to the house.
right? Pray for the situation in Oregon. Wiley's friend there they was able to get back into their house. So that's a praise. Still others dealing with the fires there. Okay, anybody else? Other praises or prayer requests? Yes, Jay. Okay, Jenny's mom found out she doesn't have to have radiation. So she made it through her chemo. She's done with that. They're saying no need for radiation too, so that's a praise. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Mr. Renard.
The other day when I got that call about Jim Coyer, about his dad, later on in the day, I got a call that was very cheerful to me and funny, because it was from the Publisher's Clearinghouse. And they said, are you aware of that? And I said, yeah, that's not, I don't believe in it. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. Well, you're a winner. I thought, oh boy, here I am. A winner. All right. And then I hung up. But yet, I think it's a scam that's going to be going around.
We already knew you were a winner. We already knew you were a winner.
I know that. I know I'm a winner. Christ has told me I'm a winner. So I thought that was kind of funny, and it kind of cheered me up a little bit after I heard about Jim.
Yeah. Good. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Sue.
For my sister-in-law, Wanda Pierce, she hasn't been able to take her treatment for her cancer because of white blood counts.
Okay, Sue's sister-in-law, Wanda Pierce, not been able to take her cancer treatment because of low white blood count. Also, pray for Becky Margraf. Ron said that she wasn't feeling well today, and so pray for her. Becky. And then he also mentioned about Bennington Glen. They were doing more testing, and then they've kind of backed off of it. So he said that was a phrase, that they don't have to do it as much right now for the virus. So just remember the rest homes, as they have to deal with a lot more protective measures and protocols. Okay, anybody else? All right, I'll just encourage you to look at the prayer sheet there. Some updates from last week, and keep those things in prayer. And so we'll go ahead and divide up here. And just as we pray, again, I would mention, you know, we don't